Okay, we're in the middle of the dinim of selling chametz. So we're discussing about what happens if you sell somebody's chametz and they're open during Pesach. So we discussed that the rest of the chametz, it doesn't nullify the sale. The sale stays a sale, except the chametz they took was without permission from the non-Jew. But as far as everything else in the store, you're allowed to eat by get chametz from that store. Now there's a very interesting practical shaila with selling of the chametz. When you sell chametz, does the chametz, does it go by where you are or where the chametz is? Give you an example. You go from here to Israel. Okay? So from LA to Israel is 10 hours ahead. Right? I think so. I believe so. Whatever. 10 hours ahead. So now, when you go to Israel, and let's say you sell your chametz to the rabbi in L.A. So he's going to sell it in L.A. This year it's not going to matter, and I'll explain why. But in a regular year, the rabbi sells the chametz at a Pesach almost at the end of the time, you know, when before the end of the time. In Israel, it's already 10 hours ahead. So you're already by the Seder. You're already sitting down by the Seder. So now the question is, when you're starting Pesach, your chametz wasn't sold yet. Because the rabbi didn't sell your chametz yet. The rabbi's selling it in the morning. But by you, it's already Pesach. So the question is, can the rabbi sell your chametz for you? Or, one second. Or do you say, no, it doesn't matter where the person is. You go by where the chametz is. The chametz is in LA, you go by LA time. The chametz is in Israel, you go in Israel time. So that's a whole question in halacha. Most opinions, and that's the way we hold, it goes by where the person is, not where the chametz is. Which means as follows. If the person, let's say you're allowed to sell chametz, for argument's sake, until 11 o'clock. Okay? After 11 o'clock, depending where the person is, that chametz already has to be sold. If it's 11 o'clock in Israel, that chametz has to be sold, that means he has to sell his chametz in Israel. He can't sell his chametz here, because when the rabbi sells the chametz here for him, in Israel, it's already after the time. The same thing, by the way, if somebody goes to New York from California, it's 3 hours ahead, the rabbi sells the chametz basically, again, half an hour before the time. But in New York, it's already 2.5 hours after the time. So therefore, a guy goes to New York. So then you have to sell your chametz in New York. Got it? Because you can't sell it in, you're going to a later place. What?
If somebody is flying from here to Israel, and he's going to sell his chametz in Israel.
Right.
Okay, so his house is here.
Right.
And he's going to sell the chametz in Israel.
Right.
The guy who is signing, making the Kenyan, has no access to his chametz.
He can come from Israel to go and buy, get your chametz. He could. Well, man, I can't sell you anything that's overseas. Why can't I sell you overseas?
Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, why not? The question is,
What are we writing? When we write it, are we selling
it? No. When you sign your name on the document, yes, all you're doing is that when the rabbi sells the chametz on Erev Pesach, I'm authorizing him to sell my chametz. You could sign the paper today. The paper is saying basically, at a Pesach, when the rabbi sells the chametz, you're giving the rabbi the right, the power of attorney, to sell the chametz for you.
Can the person write, as of now, I am writing my chametz?
No, because the rabbi is not selling it now to the guy.
It doesn't matter, I sell it to the rabbi.
But the rabbi is not acquiring it. The rabbi is not interested in acquiring your chametz. Why should the rabbi want to acquire your chametz? He just acts as a proxy, an agent, to sell your chametz for you when the time comes. Now, what happens if a guy is coming from Israel to New York, or to LA? Now, technically he can sell his chametz in Israel because that's sold earlier. Right? Or if he's here, he could sell the chametz here. But the problem is like this. What could be a problem? When they buy back the chametz, let's say you sell your chametz in Israel, okay, and then you come to America for Yom Tov. Israel finishes Pesach a day earlier or even 10 hours earlier. It doesn't matter. So when the rabbi in Israel buys back your chametz and you are in America, for you it's still Pesach. Mm-hmm. Is that a problem? Because the rabbi is buying back your chametz for you, but you're in America, by you it's still Yom Tov. But the answer is, halachically, it's not a problem. Number one, two reasons. Number one, you can't make me acquire something I don't want to. You're buying back my chametz in Israel. Okay, I don't want it yet. I don't have to acquire it. In fact, some poskim write, the rabbi, when he buys back the chametz, should say to the guy that the chametz of people in America, let's say, are not being bought back now. They'll be bought back after the time in America. But even if they don't do that, you can't force somebody to acquire something he doesn't want to acquire. The guy doesn't want to acquire chametz, he can't acquire chametz. It's very interesting. The Rebbe used to sell the chametz for Australia. And the Rebbe's document of Shtar Mechira, again, the Rebbe sold it to the Rav, but the Rebbe's document of selling to the Rav, the address is listed over there. One of them is the Yeshiva Gedolah in Melbourne. So that, you see, even the Rebbe holds clearly that you could still sell the chametz earlier, and you go by where you are, even though in Australia it's already Yom Tov. But it goes by the owner of the chametz. And that's the halacha. It goes by the owner of the chametz.
The chametz is chametz till 30 minutes after the 8th day, correct?
No, as soon as they buy it back from the guy.
Which is 30 minutes after...
I write to keep at least 30 minutes in case the guy doesn't show up or whatever.
A lot of people already before.
No, because the truth is, Baruch Hashem, like they say, halavaya further, he comes right away. At the end of Pesach, it's brought back 2 minutes after Pesach is over.
Nobody can acquire any comments or throw a...
Well, you can't do it anyway until after Pesach.
Right. I just wanted that to go on
Pesach. Okay. No, you can't make a party... You can't make a chametz party while it's still Pesach. Unless you're not Jewish, then you can do it. I mean...
This year, like you started saying...
Okay. Now, this year is a different story. And this year it's a very interesting Mechiras Chametz. Normally, we sell Chametz Erev Pesach. This year, Erev Pesach is Shabbos. Shabbos, you can't sell Chametz. You can't sell on Shabbos. So what do? This year, we actually sell the Chametz a day earlier on Friday. And we try to keep it more or less the same time, not differentiate from one year to the next. So the chametz is sold Friday morning. But that's when the guy basically gets all the documents and everything. But on the document, you add on a sentence that the acquisition of the chametz is effective when Shabbos begins. So Shabbos begins 7:15, let's say for argument's sake, I don't know what time. You write 7 o'clock. Because that means like this, I can make a condition with you, I'm doing all the acquisitions now, but it's not effective until 5 hours later. I can do that, you can make any condition you want in a transaction. So I'm telling you that I'm selling, so therefore, guys are in, now when does chametz really become forbidden? Shabbos morning. It really becomes forbidden Shabbos morning, Erev Pesach. So even in Israel, a guy can really sell his chametz this year in America. Whoever, because when I sell the chametz Friday morning and it's effective 1 hour before Shabbos, it's still before the time when chametz is forbidden in Israel.
This year.
Because this year you do everything a day earlier. It's interesting. Normally, fasted the firstborn is Erev Pesach. We're going to get into all the details as we learn. But normally, the Tainis Bukharim, the firstborn fast, is normally Erev Pesach, which this year it should be Shabbos. But you don't do it Shabbos, and you don't do it Friday either. So therefore, the fast of the firstborn is Thursday. Now normally, let's say Pesach starts Tuesday and Wednesday. Let's say, yeah? So Monday night, let's say the first Seder is Monday night. So Sunday night, you do B'dikas Chametz. Monday morning, you have the fast, you make the siyum, you sell the chametz, you nullify the chametz. That's normally the way it works. This year is completely different. You can't do bedikas chametz Friday night because it's Shabbos. You can't walk around with a candle searching chametz. So therefore, bedikas chametz is done Thursday night. But the siyum, which is normally done the morning after bedikas chametz, this year is done the day before bedikas chametz. Bedikas chametz this year is Thursday night, but the siyum, the fast of the firstborn officially, is Thursday morning. So everything changes a little bit. In other words, the fast of the firstborn is Thursday morning. You have to listen to the siyum. Thursday night is bedikas chametz. Friday morning, you don't nullify the chametz, because you're still planning to eat chametz on Shabbos. But you sell the chametz, and you burn the chametz on Friday. You can't, you know, burn it on Shabbos. And the chametz say we do it the same time like every year, not to confuse the times of the year, so to speak. This is a very unique situation. But this year, based on that, you could sell chametz here in L.A., even for somebody going to Israel.
Except you have a problem, because if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you only hold one day, you're not selling back the chametz in time.
Yeah, but what chametz in L.A. are you planning to use?
Well, what am I planning to use?
No. You have chametz here.
I'm in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, what I'm saying, your chametz is here. Right? Your chametz is here.
Here, yeah, Miami.
Okay, whatever. Your chametz is here. Now, you go to Israel for Yom Tov. So Israel is one day Yom Tov, you keep, let's say, one day Yom Tov. Now, what chametz from L.A. are you planning to use then?
Nothing.
Nothing. You want to go buy pizza
right
after Yom Tov is over in Israel, that was never sold. That you're buying new chametz. Yeah. That's not the issue. The issue is the chametz that you sold, but you can't really use it. You can't really use it because it's not bought back yet. Right? Okay.
Can you sell it to somebody overseas? Or you have to have physical access?
No, you could. We just said that before you came. You could sell it overseas. Like you could do. A lot of people do a multi-billion dollar transactions overseas without anybody seeing.
Right.
Without anybody anything. Okay, now, another thing about the selling of the chametz, and that is like this. Halachically, okay, the custom is to do more than that, but let's say halachically, this is a chametz dikadish. Okay, so I sell it with the chametz, correct? And we discussed, we sell the actual vessel, not only the absorption in the vessel, but we sell the actual vessel. But technically, I don't have to put this away with my chametz. Because the only chametz in it is absorbed chametz in the walls of the vessel, and that's not called transgressing chametz on Pesach. It's not visible, it's not tangible. It's only absorbed in the walls. The custom is you put it away with the chametz dikah things anyway. But I'm saying, technically, if somebody just puts this away in a corner, the only problem why you have to put it away is because you might forget and use it on Pesach. Because you use it a whole year, you'll forget that this is chametz stick and you'll use it for Pesach. But as far as the halacha of having to put away everything that's sold, now, everything that's sold, halachically, you have to put away in a room, close the door, or make a machitza of 10 tefachim, which is, let's say, 30, 35 inches. Because you have to make a separation to show it's not yours, it's the non-Jews. I mean, you put the stuff away, you make either close the cabinet door, whatever, you know, you just make sure you don't go in there. If somebody has to go in, let's say they forgot something that they need in the room, they can go in and out quickly, but you can't stay there because the room is rented to the guy and the chametz there is the guy's.
See? Why don't stay at home?
Huh?
Why don't you stay at home during
the house? So then what are you asking?
If you're not going to stay at home,
you still have to sell the chametz in your house.
Yeah.
No.
No,
you're not. The whole house. I hope you'll lock
your
house. So that's locked. You don't have, if you're using the house and you're having pantries, cabinets, so then obviously those you have to close up. You don't want to use them on Pesach and it's sold to the guy. Here you sold the whole house to the guy.
If the house is in a garage and there's like a freezer in a garage, has Pesachic stuff in it. Can you wash?
Again, ideally, no. If somebody has to, they bring down, you can go in and out quickly. The best thing would be, by the way, to make a partition beyond the freezer. That's only if the freezer has only Pesach things in it. So I'm saying, let's say it's a Pesach freezer, and it's in your garage, and you just don't want to do B'dikas Chametz in the garage, so you just sell the whole garage. So then you should try to make at least a partition of some sort that the freezer is not part of the sold part of the garage.
You exclude the freezer from...
Yeah, you don't have to. It's all in the... Everything's clear in the documents. You don't have to really do anything about it. It's clear. Okay.